Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and to be a part worshiping with you as well as giving the message as I was sitting there, all of a sudden I said, oh, they want to get out of the service early, because according to my order of worship, there are three parts earlier than the music team came up. That was the call to worship, God's greeting and blessing and opening prayer. We're further on in the service, and our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. Romans 8, this message we'll be focusing on from verse 31 through to 39, but we're going to begin reading at verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far the reading of God's word, and may it be a guiding light unto our path. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I were a televangelist, I might begin this sermon by telling you how prosperous you will be if you just had enough faith, because you know that all of your problems, all of your financial woes, all of your health issues are directly related to the amount of faith you have. So if you have lots and lots of faith, then your pocketbook will be full for this year, this month, this day. You'll be worry-free. Things will go well for you. And your health will be better than ever. That, my friends, in Christ, is what we call prosperity gospel. Have enough faith, then all will be well. And opposite is true too. If you lack faith, then it is only right that you shall be poor, sad, and lonely. Yes, if I were a televangelist, I might also begin by telling you to take a leap of faith and donate to the church, since the Bible says that God will bless a cheerful giver. And I do it all with a big smile on my face, the model and paradigm of worry-free living. If only it were that simple. It's true that those who trust in the Lord will be better equipped to face whatever the challenges lay ahead. As we all know that there will be challenges, faith doesn't remove crosses and trials, but it does help one to endure them when they come. But it is a lie to say that everything will be great and you'll be perfectly happy if you have just enough faith. Scripture makes no such promises. Jesus did say, however, that the student is not above his teacher. The servant is not above his master. If Christ suffered in the flesh, do we expect to get by unscathed by the world? If Christ was put to death, do we expect to avoid suffering and death? So Scripture does not say that if you are a Christian, if you have just enough faith, you will avoid all this. It does say, however, that such things cannot separate one from the love of Christ. Here again, these words from the apostle in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul doesn't say that everything will go well for you. Who knows? Maybe your business will crumble. Maybe you'll lose your job. Maybe a dear family member will die. It could happen. But Paul says none of this can change the fact that God loved us and gave his son into death for us. No, in fact, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice, though, that it is through him who loved us. We dare not think that we can gain the victory or conquer such things on our own or by our own willpower. It is through or by the means of him who loved us. Paul goes on to say, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, says the apostle, can separate us from God's love in Jesus. We might add to that list poor health, family problems, low income, a lost job, and the list could go on and on. Even our sins do not separate us from God's love. For who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Though our lives will change every day, every week, every month, though trials will come, there is one thing that does not change. And that is the love of God. That is one thing we will never need to be uncertain of. We have as a seal of that love in our baptism. We have as a constant pledge and token of that love in Christ, the Holy Sacrament. Every time we remember our baptism, every time we come to the Lord's table, that love of God is sealed for us and made known to us until the end of time. What can separate us from the love is unrepentance. That is one thing that can make us have a terrible, terrible time. It makes no Christian sense to seek God's blessing and forgiveness at the same, without forgiveness without at the same time seeking his help in turning from our sins. It makes no sense to come to the sacrament by which Christ's forgiveness is given and sealed to us, only to leave the Lord's table with no intention of amending one's sinful life. Our sins will not separate us from God's love, provided that we repent, provided that we continually seek out his mercy in Jesus. For Paul says in another place, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None, sip, no condemnation. If you fall into sin and repent, trusting in Christ's forgiveness, you are not condemned. Your sins are forgiven. You are free. But where there is no repentance, then neither is there forgiveness. An unrepentant heart is one that refuses to acknowledge one's sin, desires not the forgiveness of sins, and has no intention of amending one's sinful life. This is the dangerous pit that every Christian needs to avoid. Sometimes we tend to think of repentance only in the terms of those really big sins, like adultery or murder. And we think that it matters not if we continue in the small sins like our irritableness or sometimes our anger or our impatience without repentance. But make no mistake, these two need to be confessed and forgiven. Luther said in regard to baptism that every day is a day of contrition and repentance for Jesus. Of all the resolutions and promises we make to ourselves and to God when we begin it each year or begin each day or each month, this ought to be at the top, that we daily repent of our sins and trust anew in God's mercy. Second, on the list that should we be that instead of fretting and worrying about things that we have no control over, instead of trying to live our lives as if everything depended on us, we commend all things into the hands of God. For the psalmist has said, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. How then does a Christian proceed? With fear and trepidation? With guilt and shame of past sins, trusting in himself? No. He does so, or she does so, as one who is covered by the righteousness of Christ's blood. He or she does so as one who is freed from the guilt and condemnation of sin, free from the bondage of the devil, free from the fear of death. He or she does so in faith, not the kind of faith that thinks nothing bad will happen, but the kind of faith that clings to God and trusts his promises in spite of trials and crosses, indeed in the midst of them. In faith, we look forward to what God has in store for us. In just a little bit less than a month, we will be celebrating Good Friday. We will be celebrating Easter. And we see what God's promise has done for us. God gave his son to die on the cross so you and I could have eternal life. You and I could have eternal life so we didn't have to worry. All we needed to do is repent and ask for forgiveness because Christ died on the cross for all of our sins. We don't have to bear that cross anymore, knowing whether our sins are forgiven or not. Christ has done that for us. So in faith, we look forward to what God has in store for us. But we also look back to what God has already done. Today, it is also fitting that we give thanks to the Lord for his constant and loving protection in every time of need and for every unseen blessing. Most of us are unaware of the constant danger that we are in. Much of it we cannot see. We cannot see the cursed devil hounding us or threatening us. Nor can we see the holy angels protecting us. One cannot imagine what would happen if God would for 1 minute withdraw his protecting hand from us. Life is fragile. And the only people who may have some sense of this fragility are those who maybe have fought in the war. But you know it. But you know it too. You feel it in your own bodies. You see it in the suffering of your neighbors, your loved ones, your friends. Thanks be to our Creator for his ongoing care and preservation of our bodies and souls. I'm no televangelist, so I can't promise you that you are going to be prosperous if you have just enough faith. I can only say that Scripture has said and promises what Scripture promises. God's word promises that he will be your help and your shield. It promises grace and every blessing to those who believe. It promises that nothing can separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm no televangelist, so I won't say that you need faith in order to be healed. I won't say you need faith in order to be rich. I won't say you need faith in order to succeed. I experience through the work of the Lighthouse that many there have faith in Christ, but yet they live on very little. They can barely survive. They're poor. And yet they have faith in God, knowing that God is going to keep his promise for them. They have faith. A number of years ago, actually many years ago, I should say, when I was part of the Simcoe League, actually living here when I lived in Brampton, we had a retreat. As the youth and the young adults came together for a retreat, we had a speaker there and we were all excited about having this speaker. But while we were at the retreat, the speaker said one thing to us that all of a sudden we weren't prepared to hear. He says, "I'm a back healer. So if anyone here who has a sore back and would like to have be healed, please step forward or raise your hand." There were a couple people that raised their hand. One was a young man who raised his hand and said he had back problems because he had one leg shorter than the other. And so the back healer prayed and laid his hands on this person. And after that, the legs were back to normal. They were both the same length. And all of a sudden, he had one pant leg longer than the other. But there was a young lady there as well who also raised her hand and said she had back pain. And not knowing what the back pain was from, we prayed over her. And the faith healer said that she was healed. After a few minutes, she said she was in more pain now than she was before. And so the discussion came about who had more faith. Did the young man have more faith and he was healed? Or did the young lady have more faith and people thought she wasn't healed because of she was in more pain? And as young peoples and young adults, we had quite a discussion that evening. And I tell you, that was one exciting retreat. And I still remember it because of that discussion. But the challenges was there for all of us to understand that it wasn't because of our faith that one person was healed or not. It's just that maybe God didn't allow that to happen. But it wasn't because one person's faith was stronger than the other. Today, I know where both of these people live, and the one has still got both legs the same length, and there's no difference there. For the young lady, and that I know where she lives, I just found that out a couple weeks ago, but I do not know whether she still has back pain. We do not know that. But we do know this. God keeps his promises. And his promise is this, is that he's going to love all of us, no matter what we experience, no matter what we go through. He is always going to be there for us. His biggest promise was that he let his son die on the cross for each and every one of us, so that we could be saved. We could have eternal life. And that at some time, we will not have to worry about all the trials, the tribulations, all the pain, all the suffering, or health issues. Because we will be with the Lord. A number of months ago, went through that experience of understanding total healing. Not healing here on earth, but healing in heaven. This past January, or December, my mother was in a lot of pain. And she was in such pain that she was screaming, and I couldn't figure out what I could do. There was nothing that I could do. But there was something the Lord did that we all as a family accepted. And then about 3-4 weeks later, after that pain, excruciating pain, the Lord took my mother home, and now she is in no longer pain. And we understand now what it means to have true healing. God's kept his promise for her that someday she will not have to deal with that pain. And now she is with him and not having to deal with that pain. God keeps his promises. And it's promises that nothing can separate us from his love, which is Christ Jesus. Trials will come. We can be certain of that. There will be good times. And for that we will bless the Lord as well. Who knows what kind of natural disasters there will be, what health struggles there will be, or what the economy will do. No one but the Lord. Be certain of this, friends. God's love in Jesus is for you. God bless you with his grace and with his Spirit. God is watching out for you. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your trials and tribulations, sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. And sometimes it takes us a long time to realize that God is looking out for you. I know that from experience. When I was 9 and a half, I had an epileptic seizure. At the time, the doctors told my family that I had brain damage. My parents didn't believe it, but yet that's what the doctors wrote down on the medical charts. 20 years later, I went to see that same doctor and told the doctor that I was going to graduate from Sir Sanford Fleming College with a diploma. And the doctor would not believe it. He says, "How's that possible? On your chart it says this, but yet you're doing this." And our only response as a family was this: that God is taking care of us. And I truly believe that. Because I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for that. We've experienced that. But God, so we know, God keeps his promises and he's watching out for us. There is nothing that can separate us from his love. And God's love in Jesus is for you. Amen. Now we'll have prayer of the people.
Let's come together in a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house to worship you. We thank you for the freedom we have to openly worship and praise your name. We ask that you will help us to not take that for granted, but that we would realize and know that this is truly a blessing and a gift from you, and that in many other parts of the world they do not experience that same freedom. We pray for our brothers and sisters who live in places where they are not free to worship. We ask that you will protect them and continue to give them the boldness to proclaim you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we also pray for those who do not yet know you or who have strayed away from a relationship with you. We ask that you would help us to find ways to bring the love of God to them and that they would personally experience your saving grace. Lord, we thank you that tomorrow is the official beginning of spring. We thank you that you are in control of the seasons and that as winter comes to an end, we will begin to see the signs of spring again. We look forward to the grass turning green, the trees beginning to bud, and the flowers and plants beginning to blossom and grow. This is a reminder to us all that you are the God of all things and that everything has a time and a season and nothing happens without your will. Lord, we pray for our congregation. We pray for those who continue to deal with physical and or mental health issues and challenges. We pray for healing for those who are suffering, and we pray that you would be close to those who daily struggle with these types of challenges. We pray also for the caregivers for these individuals. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage them and give them what they are in need of to continue to support their loved ones. We pray for our congregation as well, as so that we would seek out ways to support and show love to those in need. Lord, we pray especially this morning for the Valkenburg family as they mourn the passing of John's father. We pray that you would be the source of strength and comfort during this time of remembering his life and mourning the loss. Lord, we pray for the Rainbows Ministry, which is planning to start again in April. We pray that you would bless this ministry. We pray that you would bring forth leaders and volunteers that are needed to help this ministry to accomplish their goals. We pray for the families and children that will be supported by this ministry, and we ask that we would be able to support and encourage them as they deal with devastating losses. Lord, we also continue to pray for our youth ministries. We ask that you would continue to support and strengthen all those who work with and lead our youth. We ask that our youth would continue to grow in their knowledge and love of you, and that they would deepen in their desire to serve you in all that they do. Lord, we ask that you would give wisdom to those in government. We think of our local leaders, our provincial government, and our federal government leaders. We pray that they would seek to serve you in the decisions that they make. We ask that they would protect our religious freedoms, and that they would seek ways to support those who seem to be on the fringes of society. We also ask that you would help us to reach out to those in need in our community, and that we would seek ways to effectively build relationships with them so that we can share the love of God with them. Lord, we thank you for the gift of music. We thank you for those who lead through music during our worship services. We pray that you would strengthen them as they plan services. We also ask that you would continue to bring forth those who have musical gifts and encourage them to use them for your glory and honor. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can set aside to worship you, and we pray that the words that have been spoken and the music that has been played would have brought glory and honor to you. And we continue to ask your blessing as we bring our offerings to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.